Thank you, Lord. We recently had a visit from Brother and Sister Dobie. They originally are from South Africa, ministers in South Africa, and more recently now moved to Georgia. But we've had contact with them for quite a number of years, and I've come to appreciate them in the Lord. And this last visit, our Sister Dobie spoke to us on a Sunday evening. And she said that she had recently been burdened for the church and the state of the church. And so she set her heart to wait upon God and to seek God. And that God had dropped a word into her heart from the book of Jeremiah about seeking out the old paths. And I thought about that, how important it is for us to seek out the old paths. Many of us have been blessed, as our brother Michael said, in this place. We thank God for Pilgrim Camp. We thank God for the light that God has placed in the ministers who ministered here and who taught us. And we want to be faithful to the light and the Word of God and the paths that not only were taught us, but lived out before us. There was a reality in the experience that we need. Already last year, at the shortly after the camp season had ended, I was impressed with this thought that we needed to, I felt, take a verse this year for 2018 that spoke of the Holy Spirit and His work among us. And so we have taken the verse from John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, and talks about the rivers of living water that God wants to flow from our inmost being. But having said all that, I say this: I'd like to give out this camp booklet to you, to all of you. It's the staff devotions, and if we could just distribute them quickly. Our sister Edith Blumhofer, for the past few years, has been putting together this little booklet for us. And so when I spoke to her about it this year, she said, "Well, I have a theme. It's Pilgrims in Progress." See, that wasn't me before. You thought that was me, right? That wasn't me. That was Sister Edith. Pilgrims in Progress. And so I said, "Well, you know, Edith, I have a verse, and maybe you can work this together." And so when I told her the verse from John 7, she came up with this then, this the second title, so to speak: Pilgrims in Progress, the Ongoing Work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian Life. And so every day for the 2 weeks that the staff are here, they will open this book and read the passage and read the little quotations that our Sister Edith selected for us on the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives. And I just pray that God would just move by His Spirit in Pilgrim Camp in 2018. I'm just going to read with you. You can follow with me. It says, "God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. The great evangelist Dwight L. Moody often said, 'And if we are not filled, we are living beneath our privileges.' During the 2018 season, the Pilgrim Camp staff devotional readings focus on some of those privileges by exploring the work of the Holy Spirit. Our theme is John 7:38. 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' John likens the Holy Spirit to rivers of water flowing through those who yield their lives to Jesus Christ. Ezekiel also uses the image of a river to picture God's gracious act of pouring out His Spirit. In 1946, a prominent Pentecostal preacher He's Assemblies of God. Just an aside there, brother. Named William Evans wrote, "This river must flow," a provocative article about God's purpose in the Pentecostal revival of the early 20th century. Pilgrim Camp is part of the river that flowed from that revival, and Evans' timeless insights remain relevant for Camp. We are part of a great Pentecostal fellowship through which these rivers are supposed to flow. If these rivers are not flowing, then we on whom God has laid hold to bring the waters to the world are damming up the rivers instead of being the channels God has chosen us to be. The baptism of the Holy Spirit creates flowing rivers. As we seek the Lord together in 2018, may the camp season be a time when rivers of living water flow, dams are broken, and our focus on the Holy Spirit brings a clearer view of the privileges we have through the third person of the Trinity. William Evans left his readers with a challenge we do well to heed. If anything is impeding the flow of living water from within us, let us pray until God puts the dynamite of his power under it and blows it to pieces, so that the water of the river of life may gush forth and flow on, bearing the wonderful life of the Spirit to all that it touches.
Hallelujah.
And so I don't want you to flip through the book now, Sister Donna. No, all right. But these are for you to take with you. And even if you're not here throughout the season, I trust that you'll day by day pray with us and believe for God's working by his Spirit. I was impressed by this William Evans, and so I looked up this River Must Flow, and you can find it on the internet. I don't know what that is, but everyone keeps referring to that, the internet. And it's a PDF. The original is no longer available, but you can download a PDF. And I did that, and so I have the article for us to read tonight together. It's somewhat condensed. I edited it a little bit just to keep it manageable for us to read together. But I'd like us just to consider these thoughts tonight regarding the river of life that God wants to flow from our inmost being. And in this place, we've experienced that in the past. And we want to see God work and continue his work. And if there's anything that's hindering that work, God needs to work in our hearts. But I asked Brother Tim and Brother John Christian to read for us just from the scriptures. And while they're coming up, Danny, would you give these out with Frank?
John 37 through 39. And on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." In Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 9, verse 12. And then he brought me back to the door of the temple. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side.
And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine.
We can each, we can have volunteers read a paragraph, all right? So we'll start with Brother Pedro. You volunteered first, all right?
Amen. Okay. Many of God's people are feeling a sense of responsibility in relation to a spiritual awakening in the world. Before we're able to sense such a feeling of responsibility, our hearts must be awakened and quickened. Let us read Revelations 22:1-7, then Ezekiel 47:1-9. In this last passage, we may see a picture of the gracious moving of God in pouring out His Spirit upon the earth in our day. God has been pleased to visit the earth in marvelous ways down through the ages, and we stand somewhere along the line where the volume of this river described in Ezekiel is being increased in its flow to bring its immeasurable blessings. You remember that the familiar passage in John 7:37-39 that seems appropriate in this relationship. Here, the Holy Ghost in His outpouring is likened to rivers of living water. Not pour out at random over the whole countryside, but through lives that are yielded to Jesus Christ.
It is a known fact that the things of the Spirit of God, the marvelous provisions of this great salvation, were well nigh lost to the world a few centuries after the day of Pentecost and the establishment of the Church. And then out of the chaos of the Dark Ages, God began to uncover from the rubbish heap of religious accumulation those choice and valuable things that were provided in the gospel, but which were lost to mankind. Every time new truth has been brought forth, it has been because men have caught enough of the vision of the vision from God and have been sufficiently stirred that they held on to God in prevailing and persistent prayer. They have prayed through until it has seemed that by their persistence they have punctured another cloud of heaven's blessing. Something more of God's grace has been brought down to earth because they pressed through and touched God.
And let me just say this as we read. Maybe you don't have a pen to underline, but maybe mentally you're underlining some of these thoughts. And I'm going to give opportunity after we finish to, you can share something that blesses you, all right? So keep that in mind as we go through. All right, next.
We have the exalted privilege of living in a day when something that had been lost through the centuries has been restored. It was restored in somewhat the same fashion as a large number of God's people who knew the Word and trusted God's promises began to pray with a deep hunger. Perhaps they didn't see what the end would be, but they were deeply concerned. At the beginning of this century, groups all over the world prayed for God to move by pouring out His Spirit as at Pentecost. They read in the Word how the normal church proceeded under the mighty anointing and power of God. Souls were saved, men were brought into the kingdom, and the benefits of salvation were dispensed freely and generally. So they prayed for a renewal of that supernatural power. They prayed until they became more burdened. As we pray on, we get a clearer vision. Our desires deepen, and thus we pray more and more. So after praying for a while, we see more clearly than what we are seeking for, that what we are seeking for is a glorious possibility. So we are constrained to press in and hold on to the promises until we receive the thing we desire. Every shackle of doubt is shaken from us as we pray, and we get the substance of that hoped for.
Now this Pentecostal revival of which you and I in the infinite grace of God find ourselves a part was begun in answer to this prevailing prayer. prayer in perfect accord with the will of God. So when enough people on earth became concerned about God's doing what he wanted to do, God did it, and there was a great religious awakening. Now we find ourselves moving along with the people who have yielded themselves to the Lord and are hastening towards the day when Jesus shall come back. We are moving along Ezekiel's river to the place where the water is quite deep. We are in the river, and the river is in us. John 7 says, out of his belly, innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if I mistake not, we who call ourselves Pentecostal are occupying a most crucial position. As God deals with us and draws out our hearts after him, getting us free from condemnation, clarifying our vision, moving us out into a liberty we have not known before, touching our lives with his power in a new way, he is doing these things with a view to benefiting the whole.
Now there is no doubt that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to produce in the world a church that in one respect is the exact counterpart of the first century church. If we have been baptized by the Holy Ghost, the river is intended to flow through us. He that believeth on me out of his belly, inmost being, shall flow rivers of living water. We are part of this great Pentecostal fellowship through which the rivers are supposed to flow. If these rivers are not flowing, then we who have been laid hold upon by God to bring the waters to the world are damming up the river instead of being the channels God has chosen us to be.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost creates flowing rivers. Every religious movement that God has raised up was intended by God to be flowing rivers. But after they flowed a while, lo, instead of actually being a part of the flowing current, the human instrumentality has become a dam across the river. Then God has gone to work on that dam. He has put the dynamite of the word in the dam to blow it up and get it out of the way so that the river could flow. And as fast as God dropped sticks of dynamite to blow it up, they patched it up again and made a denominational dam. God waited with patience and tried with his heavenly dynamite to blow out the obstructions. Every once in a while, there would be an explosion here or there, and people on the other side of the dam would get wet. But each time, men would patch it up again, and the dam would hold back the flow. Are we building a Pentecostal dam? What a responsibility is ours.
Here are some strict scriptures very familiar to us that stress our responsibility. May they move us to such intercession and concern for God's will to be done in the world that something will happen that will cause the bursting of dams and the flowing of rivers that will never stop until the whole world is reached. Go ye into all the world. Mark 16:15-16. Certainly, since God put out his Spirit in such a marvelous way, we have been going into all the world. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working in them and confirming the word and signs following. Mark 16:20. You say, don't we have signs following? Yes, God, for what we see signs. What we see of signs, but oh, what God wants us to do. What God is prevented from doing because we have thrown a dam across the river. That dam is built of all sorts of hard substance, unbelief, sins of every kind, professionalism, and the substitution of psychological and natural methods of doing things instead of absolute dependence on the Spirit of God. The dam has been thrown across. God is trying to blast it out.
In Hebrews 2:4 we read, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. It is the will of God not for something to happen at one place as the most outstanding and exceptional thing, and then away yonder another exceptional happening. But it is the will of God that along with the preaching of his word, there should be everywhere confirmation by signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This is not a time for us to pat ourselves on the back, say we are all right, and believe we are realizing all the will of God for us. God is endeavoring to bring us vision, experiences that first make us bow in the dust, then release our spirits so that we can soar up into the presence of God. Show us new objectives to move forward in the power of the Holy Ghost. He has been seeking to bring us into the place where we have a clear outlook upon God's spiritual landscape and God's purpose in the world today. If we have allowed a dam to be thrown across the river, whether we feel we are personally responsible for it or not, we should make it our concern. If we will take the burden upon us, then God will dynamite the dams and we will get word from all around the world that the rivers are flowing.
Somebody must pray. Somebody must get under the burden. Somebody must trust God.
Hallelujah.
God is bringing us up into His presence by clearing away obstacles and awakening new desires for Himself. If we are satisfied to go out with a preaching message and do not want to see the power of God in signs following, confirming the word, then we are out of place.
Perhaps this is holding Jesus from coming back. He may be waiting for one more outstanding manifestation of his power as the word is preached. The word is being preached all right, but the manifestations and signs that should follow are not being seen in fullness. And the reason may be that we measure ourselves by the wrong standard. We look at other groups of religious people and consider ourselves in advance of them. We fold our arms and look at our accomplishments in a self-satisfied way. We may be unwittingly throwing a dam across the Spirit's Pentecostal flow. It is our responsibility to pray through until dams are broken and the signs following are restored. We cannot pray any other way, touching this matter and be praying in the will of God. The Holy Ghost prays through us in the groanings that cannot be uttered. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. God has pledged himself to bring into cooperation with himself humankind who are willing to get under the burden.
God is looking at the Pentecostal movement today and is saying, I am looking for Pentecostal fruit. I am looking for deeds that are wrought in the Holy Ghost. What is he seeing? We must have God's power in our midst so that the scoffer who stands by and watches will be forced to say, it is beyond the realm of the human. It is a supernatural. Have we permitted the construction of some dam? Let us pray that God puts the dynamite of his power under it and blows it to pieces so that the water of the river of life may gush forth and flow on, sharing the wonderful life of the Spirit to all that it touches.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.